Now you'll notice on the order of service sheet that there's a title there for this morning's message, Hail Redemption's Happy Dawn. And I'm taking the text this morning to draw to your attention from the reading. No one can redeem the life of another or give God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough. Years ago, when I was a student in London, I had a student pal who came from Barbados. And he came to me one year and he said to me, "What's winter like in England?" This was his first year. And he had no idea what winter was like. And I tried all my best to try to prepare him for what winter was like. He had no idea. He wanted to know what snow was like. Can you imagine that? He had never seen snow. He'd never touched it. He'd never felt it. It was going to be a completely new experience for him. And I did my best to prepare him for what was coming. But you know, there's nothing like the experience of the real thing. And that winter in the capital, there was quite a snowfall. And he found out firsthand. And our drafty digs that we shared together certainly made him feel what an English winter was like. It was alien to him, that's my point. It was alien. I remember in 1968 I went as a child on a school trip to Austria. And I remember all of the boys running about feverishly after they'd gone into their bedrooms and they visited the bathrooms. They all came out onto the landing and said, "What the heck's that thing in there?" Of course, that thing that they'd all discovered, that we'd all discovered, was a B-day, of course. But at the time, we all agreed after testing it, it was obviously for washing your feet. And I remember this. It was alien. It was completely alien to them. It was alien to me. And I wonder this morning, if you could just put yourself in a position. Someone comes from another place, looks upon all of our festivities at this time, joins us in December and sees the Christmas festivities and asks you, "What is Christmas all about?" What is it for? What are you doing? Why are you doing it? Which one of you is able to explain to the visitor, to the alien, who knows nothing about Christmas, sincerely wants to know and asks you to explain it? What will you say? Where will you start? Where will you finish? I think many people are going to struggle to explain what Christmas is all about. Well, I'd start. If I were explaining it, I know where I'd start. I'd start by using a really difficult word. And you'd say, "Well, what's the point in doing that?" Because this difficult word that I draw your attention to this morning is what Christmas is all about. It's an unusual word. It's a word that we hardly ever use today. But it was in all three of the Bible readings, and it was in the carols which you sang. Christmas is about Jesus who came to redeem us. And if this visitor, this alien, was in front of me, I'd say Christmas is about Jesus coming to redeem us. Now, someone might say this morning, "I don't even know what that word means." Well, if you don't know what it means, how are you going to explain Christmas to someone? And if you can't explain it, imagine the tens of millions of others around this country today who can't explain Christmas. I heard a woman ring into the radio this week. She called in and requested a piece of music for her son who was down in the mouth. He was in the Christmas play. And the chap on the radio said, "Well, what's wrong with him?" "Well, he's down in the mouth." "Why?" "He's being cast as a mince pie in the Christmas play." Well, you would be, wouldn't you? My point is this. Is that this is what Christmas has become. Can you not see what's happening to us as a nation? This is what we have become. And when I speak to you this morning about Christ's redemption, which is why he actually came, no one's got a clue. Everyone's in the dark. and never heard of this before. What a problem we face for the future. And that's why, just if I can beg of you for your hearing, just for a short time, if you would listen just for a short time this morning and pick up something about what Christmas is really about. So you've got this word redemption. You've got it fixed now. You can go away from here and you can say Christmas is about Christ's redemption. What does it mean? What does redeem mean? You'll hear it said in football commentary. You know, a defender makes a dreadful mistake, gives away a goal, but later on he redeems himself by going up front and heading in the winner. He redeems himself. You hear it in that sense. It means to buy back. It means to recover something. It means by expenditure of effort to actually buy something back by payment. It's about deliverance. It's about ransom. So when you think about Christmas, about Jesus coming to us, it's about deliverance. It's about payment of a ransom. A ransom? Why, you never thought Christmas was anything like this. He's coming, the baby, the cradle, everything that you see, the stable, the picture, it's all about deliverance. It's about delivering those who are held captive. Now, of course, this becomes the rub. This becomes the difficulty. This is why we'd rather have Christmas about a kid being dressed up as a mince pie. Of course we would, because this is the rub. Christmas is about redemption, about freeing people, about setting people free. From what? From their guilt and from their sin and from their shame. Now, if I break the law, if I go too fast in a particular area, the police nab me, and there are some police people here, so I'd better be very careful what I say. But they do. And the letter comes and it informs me of my crime and of my guilt. And the points are put to my license, and I know about it, and everybody else does who wants to know. I broke the law, and there's no getting away from it. Come on. We can do it. Hands up if you've ever done it. Come on. Get on with it. Come on. You see, there we are. And yet, listen to this. What you've been able to do is you've been able to go on a speed awareness course or pay the fine. You've been able, to some extent, to redeem yourself from your crime. So to some extent, you all understand redemption. Now, if you know what redemption means, you know what Christ's coming is about. If it's about payment, if it's about deliverance, if it's about answering for someone else, then the question will come, deliver us from what? Free us from what? What is it that we need to be delivered from? What is the ransom that needs to be paid for what? Well, for those who were in bondage and in captivity. If you set somebody free, it's obvious that they're a prisoner. That goes without saying. Deliver us from what, someone says. Well, the only thing that you can say that we have a need of deliverance from is from what we're all of us suffering from, which we've all got in common, which none of us want to hear about today. It's the deliverance from our sin. And someone is going to say, this old word of sin is absolute codswallop. All right, I'll put it to the test. Anybody who says that the idea of sin is codswallop, let me ask this person, do you believe that there is such a thing as goodness? And you'll all say yes. And then I'd like to ask, and by what do you judge that goodness? If it is not by the things which are bad. You all very well know that there are things which are bad. Let me ask this question. Is it good to steal? Is it good to commit adultery? Is it good to be greedy and to be mean and to be covetous? Is it good to be jealous and to be ruled by hatred? Are these things good? And yet every single one of us knows them. But the rub is like this. I don't want to call it sin. I'll call it anything except calling it what it really is. Is it good to be selfish or is it bad? All of these things we know, in some form, in some measure, they dominate our lives. And I just say to this person who says that sin is codswallop, I'll ask you this question. Do you believe in death? There isn't anyone here who doesn't believe in death. It's staring us all in the face. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You all believe in sin because every one of you, doesn't matter who we are, we're all on the same journey. Friends, Christmas is about God sending his son as a redeemer because sin is killing us. God's wonderful gift of his gracious gift of the giving of his son is because God sees what's wrong with us and he knows how to cure us. And there might only be one person in this room this morning who really is willing to face up to it and accept it. But they know full well that their sin is every day a living expression. And Christ came to redeem us, to deliver us from it, so that we might be set free, not just in this life, but for all eternity. There's a big mistake that's made, of course, at this point, and that is that there will be someone who really willingly, gladly accepts what's being preached this morning. And then do you know what they'll say? They'll say, I'm going to tackle this need of redemption in my life. Someone will say, I agree with what you've been saying. This is the person who's removed all the makeup, removed the mask, quite willing to be exposed and be seen for what they really are, who admits freely, I'm sinful. But this person now, do you know what they say? You should all listen carefully now. This person now says, I'll free myself, thanks very much. You'll free yourself. Yes, I'll free myself. Yeah, but the 49th Psalm that I read to you says no one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. That means no one, no church, no priest, no religious order, no one can redeem the life of another. I repeat it. This is for your benefit. No one. There is no one who can redeem us. No other human being, no other institution, this church, not me, not anyone. The person who tries to redeem themselves, do you know what they find? The chains only get tighter around them. The sin only gets deeper. The expressions of it only get larger. And we become more and more restricted. It's only when we realise that sin has imprisoned us that we realise that we're in need of freedom. All too often, very sadly, people believe that they can redeem themselves. How many of you have read or heard of Charles Dickens' Great Christmas Carol? You must have seen it or read it. You must have done. You know what the story is. Who's the central character? Scrooge, of course. And Scrooge is typified, of course, in it by his selfish, merciless lack of compassion, his love of money as his only god and his only goal. He's mean. You know it. You've seen it before. And as the story develops and Christmas Eve comes on, he's visited by the ghosts of Christmas. Ghosts of Christmas past, present and future. And the story develops to show Scrooge what sort of a wretched man he had been. And I've no doubts that even at this point, all of us, to justify ourselves, we say, all of us, I'm not really that bad. That's what we all do. But you see, by the laws of a greater power, he was seen to be an abject failure. Well, Charles Dickens does his best. He does it absolutely brilliantly. until Scrooge sorts himself out. But you know what Scrooge does? He redeems himself. He turns over a new leaf. It's a do-it-yourself redemption. He works it out himself. He becomes a better person. Exactly what every single one of us would naturally do. And the Christmas story is to tell us you can't have a do-it-yourself redemption. It's impossible. Up to Christmas, we printed this card. And we had posters in the notice board. They ran for over a week. These are the words of Beyoncé. I don't know who she is, but I sort of do. But all the young people will know. Just listen to what she says. We printed it. I was here. I lived. I loved. I was here. The hearts I have touched will be the proof that I leave, that I made a difference. And this world will see. I was here. I lived. I loved. I was here. I'll leave my mark so everyone will know I was here. I just want them to know that I gave all. I gave my all. I did my best. I brought someone some happiness. I left this world a better place just because I was here. Friends, that's the message of Charles Dickens. Redemption, self-redemption. I do it. I. All of what I can do. But I want you to know this morning that in God's sight there is nothing that we ourselves can do. And the humbling place that we'll all have to come to is where we throw ourselves upon the mercy of God and ask him to do it for us. That's why Christ is called the Redeemer. That's why this morning, perhaps for the first time this Christmas, you need to hear this message. Of course, you'll never need a Redeemer if you're not a sinner. If you can turn over a good leaf, and if any of you can turn over a good leaf and be that better person that's acceptable in the sight of God for the rest of your life, then try to do it. You'll only find yourself more and more imprisoned. I'm going to finish with these words from the Apostle Peter. You read it. You have the order of service. You can take it with you. This is not what Trinity Evangelical Church says. This is what the Bible, the Word of God, says. Peter says, "For you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors." That's it. My empty way of life before I was converted to Christ was handed down to me by my ancestors. My dad had it, my grandfather, and my grandfather before him. They all had an empty way of life where sin ruled them and dominated their very existence. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Is there anyone here this morning who would say, "I am without blemish, I am without defect"? And the whole point of Christmas is that God sent his Son who is without blemish and he is without defect. Have you ever done anything wrong? Yes. Have you got something to hide? Actually, we've all got something to hide. That's the truth of it. Because every one of us know how we have lived and fallen short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of each other's standards. Never mind the glory of God. We've all got blemishes, every one of us. But the joy of Christmas, I want you all to go away and try to remember this. The joy of Christmas is that Christ was born to redeem his people, that he is the one who redeems us, that we don't do it ourselves. And therefore you must come to him and you must believe in him with all of your heart. You must commit yourself to him. You must come in faith and trust him. Cleave to him as one who needs his salvation, as one who is imprisoned by sin. And he will set you free. Because that's what he came to do. That's his ministry. That is his work. If you've got sin, then you've definitely got guilt. And this morning, God says to us through Christ, I'll remove your sin, I'll forgive it. And I'll remove your guilt, which goes along with that also. But we've got to commit ourselves unreservedly to the Saviour. This is my last word. There's got to be somebody here who says, I don't believe any of this because I committed myself to the world of science. I've heard that so many times. Oh dear. Has science ever mended a broken home? Can it mend a broken home? It's powerless. Don't tell me science has got all the answers. It can't mend a broken home. And the heroin addiction that is running through the United States at the moment, which is a national disaster recognised even by this president, will come here to this country. Will science mend it? I'm asking you, can it mend it? Can it save our young people? Never. It's an absolute impossibility. Can science mend the brokenhearted? Can it help the lonely? Can it prepare a soul for all eternity? And the answer to all these questions, you all know, is no. There needs to be a greater power at work. A greater power that will touch our lives and change us and alter us, not just in this life, but for all eternity. Do you know what the greatest killer of men is under the age of 45? These are facts. The greatest killer of men under the age of 45 in this country today is suicide. A man under 45 kills himself every 2 hours. All is not well. Science does not have anywhere near the answers. We need another answer for our nation. We need another answer for our families. We need another answer for our individual lives. And the Christian gospel alone for 2,000 years has stood to bring that answer. And it brings that answer to the questions that every one of us have today. But it can only come as you yourself, not me, I can't do it for you, but you yourself humble yourself. And come to God in Christ and believe in him with all of your heart. He'll transform you. He'll change you. He'll alter you in your thinking, in your heart, in your manners, in your behaviour forever. You'll be perhaps what you aren't today, which is what I could say once. I once wasn't a Christian, and then the Lord came to my heart and he made me into a Christian. That's what each and every one of us need. Hail redemption's happy morn. I love the sound of that in that great hymn. Hail redemption's happy morn. What a happy morning it would be on this Christmas carol service if there were those who closed at this time by pressing, as it were, to the Lord Jesus Christ and put their faith in him, because he would receive you. And he would receive you to himself. I can't wish you a happy Christmas that is just the baubles and the tinsel and the turkey and all of that. I can't do that. That's just the same old thing. This is the happiest Christmas ever if we take this to heart and we believe it and come to the Lord. May God bless Christmas to every one of us and bless the truth of his word to us this morning. Amen. Amen.